fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Monday. It is Monday, the 28th day of August, year of our Lord 2023. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Yes, we do what should be done in every public and private school, every school day of the year. We do with the Pledge of Allegiance here, every public broadcasting Monday through Friday to get the week started, get the day started. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The prep tip today is to inspect all your batteries and chargers. You might want to look into, if you want long-term batteries that are rechargeable, nickel metal hydride batteries. They appear to be the best I've been using for years. They last a long time, maybe up to as many as 2,000 charges. And, of course, you're always have at least 2 battery chargers. One of them should have a solar panel to do solar recharging as well. And let's see here. Looks like our guest is calling the wrong number. Let me take this a little bit. Andrew, good morning.
Hey, good morning, John.
Can you take the show for a moment while I talk to Mr. Fortune?
Absolutely. So today's going to be a really exciting show. We've got Dr. William Forston, the author of One Second After, and a whole lot of books coming on the show. We got to speak to him, I believe, 2 weeks ago, and he's coming back on again today. So that's going to be really exciting to speak with him and hopefully pick his brain a little bit and talk a little bit about his new book that just came out as well. And so that should be a really good conversation. And I'm sure we're going to get into the details of EMP and the threat of EMP against the United States and what the effects are, and hopefully Bill will have some additional insight into what he believes how he believes the threat is currently real and what the threat level actually is against our country. And so for those of you who don't know, I'm actually Andrew Butch. I'm the director of sales and marketing from EMP Shield. And one of the things that I normally do on the show is John and I discuss EMP and help raise awareness just about what the effects are and just how devastating an EMP weapon really is, and let people know that it is actually a very real thing. and that our company EMP Shield does have a solution to protect your vehicles and your homes against the effects of EMP. Now, for those who are unaware of Dr. William Forston, one of his most famous books, he's written 50 plus books. He is a military historian, and one of his most famous books and one of my favorite books ever written is the book called One Second After. And this book is about the aftermath of an EMP. And it is a really eye-opening book, just giving you an overview of what would actually happen in the life of a family with children, children who use medicine and need medicine to survive, and exactly what those effects are. And
it is an excellent book, Andrew, and I talked to Bill Mumble. Yes, he's calling into our station. Our engineer is probably talking to him right now, and he'll be with us here shortly. And he is with us. Good morning, Bill Fortune.
Hey, good morning. I got a little confused. You call me, I call you, whatever. So here we are.
Roger that. Well, we're past the confusion, the fog of war, so to speak. Anyway, Bill, we were just giving accolades to your book titled One Second After, which I do the same. It's a well-written book with good character development, written by a man who understands human nature, who understands how the world works, and how the world breaks when it's time for the world to break. And your most recent book, was it released last week, sir?
Yes, sir, on the 25th.
On the 25th, and that would be 5 years after, which I'm really looking forward to reading it. Now, do we have some of the same characters continuing forward? I believe. Do we?
Yeah, the story arc is the same. It picks up the story of what's happening in Black Mountain, North Carolina, where I set the story one second after, and by the title, it's 5 years after.
Obviously. Well, Andrew, I know you're looking forward to reading this book as well, aren't you, sir?
Oh, I very much so. In fact, I'm probably going to read the entire series over again, just to kind of refresh my mind, because it's been quite a while since I read One Second After. So I'm gonna try to get through the whole series first, and then I'm going to go into the new book. But I'm excited. You know, like I was saying earlier, kind of like we spoke last time, Bill, you know, One Second After is one of my favorite books of all time. And also it's a book that has not only impacted my life, but also impacted many of my friends and many of my my business colleagues as well. You know, we are in the preparedness field and in the EMP protection field. And this book has really, you know, not only helped raise awareness, but it's also really inspired a lot of us to, you know, strive to get the best protection out there and help raise awareness about this threat that is very real.
Yeah, well, thank you. just a very funny, quick story. It was just a little while back. I was in to have an endoscope, you know, where they stick a ramrod down your throat.
Oh, yeah.
And the anesthesiologist is ready to hit the needle, and the nurse goes through, you know, they say the same thing several times. Your name again, please. And I said my name, and the anesthesiologist looked at me and said, "Oh, you're the author. Let me call the doctor over." And I was just like, "Can't we get this over with and then we'll talk?" But it's amazing to me how many people I meet now who said that they've read the book.
Outstanding.
The book, One Second After.
Outstanding. Where do we go from here, Bill? What do you already thinking about considering your next project?
You know, I originally intended that it was going to be one book only. Did you ever read A Last Babylon?
Oh, yes. How about you, Andrew?
It's one of the great classics.
No, I haven't read that one.
Well, basically what I did was I took A Last Babylon, which is about nuclear war in the 1950s, and brought it forward. And when I got done, I got done. I didn't want to do another book. And here we are 10 years, 12 years later, and now there's four of them. I want to end the series because after that, it just starts getting more and more science fiction-y or whatever. I've told my story. I want it out there. I need a rest.
Roger that.
Sure.
Andrew mentioned you've written how many books, sir? Was it 50 or so?
About 50, yeah.
My goodness. Well, I've authored one book and a number of magazine articles, and that was quite an undertaking for myself. Of course, I was working another job as a private detective, 60 to 80 hours a week at the same time.
Wow.
But,
I didn't know that.
But Yeah, writing a book is a massive undertaking. If you're going to do it right and have it properly edited before it goes to press, isn't it, Bill? Mm-hmm.
I've been working for the same publisher now for 20 years, Torforge. They're an incredible. You rarely hear this. They're a house I really, really love, and not many authors can say that. They've been tremendous support and great editing, marketing, and stuff. But I'm going to take a rest for a while. 51 books, you start to get a little bit tired.
Roger that. Now you maintain your position as a college instructor. Also, you are retired from that.
No. They gave me a fancy title, faculty fellow, which means I make less money. I only teach a couple of classes, but I just started my 31st year last week, and I'm looking forward to my 50-year pin. I call myself a professor first and an author second. I really love to teach.
Well, Andrew, you mentioned yourself and your friends how the 1 Second After was a life-changing book. I can't say it was the same for me, yes. but it certainly added to my base of knowledge. And something that I did for a similar book titled Patriots by Jim Rawls, I did an index for the book, for a novel, mm-hmm. an index for a novel, which he, before the next book came out, he rewrote it and changed all the page counts, so my index didn't really apply. But he went ahead and did his own index for new volumes. And it just occurred to me, Bill, while we're talking, that given the scope and the depth and the knowledge in 1 Second After, an index might be called for. Have you considered such a thing, sir?
Excuse me. I shouldn't smoke at 8:00 in the morning. Actually, I have talked to my editor about that, about doing an index for the 4 books. So we'll see what happens.
Okay.
You know, they might put somebody on it.
Well, it's a administrative undertaking. You don't need to be an author to do it, just a man or woman of average intelligence who wants to take the time to do it. But it is mm-hmm. time-consuming. And I would really encourage you and your editor to move forward with that. What do you think, Andrew? Would an index for these 4 volumes be a good thing?
I think it'd be a great thing. You know, I personally think it would be, especially if Bill thinks so as well. I guess it's kind of up to the editors and your team, Bill, I guess, because mm-hmm. it is quite an undertaking, and I'm not really fully read on to exactly how to even go about doing that, but seems like it would be very time-consuming.
It would be. I remember Professor, his book, he had over 25,000 filing cards by the time he was done, you know, having to cross-index all of his works. Yeah, 25,000.
Wow. Well, I've been in that room with a number of index cards in my different employments, so it's you have to have an attitude that you can handle it when you walk into a room with tens of thousands of index cards.
You ever been in Library of Congress?
I've only visited once, but I've been in major libraries, yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I had to do some work there on my dissertation, and the filing room is bigger. It's huge. Because they got about 20 million different items that they've had to catalog.
Yeah. Well, that's the Library of Congress. The current state of our world, Bill, is such that the threat of EMP has not gone away. If anything, it's become more of a threat because it is such an ideal weapon to harm and or shut down an enemy without causing permanent damage to infrastructure. Take an oil refinery, for example. You can knock out the oil refinery without permanent damage. A couple of dozen technicians and enough electronic parts, you can put it back in service probably in a year or less. So in some respects, it is one of the more ideal weapons, isn't it, Bill?
Of course, cyber attack is the big thing. Remember Iran, all the centrifuges for their nuclear weapon development
right.
suddenly went haywire, and it blew the whole system mm-hmm. out. it's taken them years to recover. The Israelis sort of smile when they think about that.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. that type of threat is there. And we're increasingly in a destabilized world. I mean, look what's going on in Ukraine right now, the assassination of the Wagner commander. Who knows who's going to jump where next?
Now, the University of Missouri at Rolla, Science and Technology is nearby me, Bill. Mm-hmm. It's a world-class university for engineering. When I drive through the campus, which I do at least once a month, I see a large percentage, maybe half the students I see are obviously foreign nationals. Do you have that on campus where you work, sir?
No. I'm at a small college. Devoted more to teaching, 800 students. It's a Christian college, and I love that. We're about teaching. Though our biggest program is cybersecurity. We have over 100 students who are going to go into $100,000 jobs when they get done, compared to those doing gender studies who are not going to get a job at all. Universities. I remember when I was at Purdue, about half of our graduate students were mostly from China.
There you go. Yep. And they're serious students, aren't they?
Oh, God, yeah. When I was at Purdue, 50 grad students out of the 5,000 received what were called Andrews Fellowships. I was one of the recipients. But, yeah, 2/3 of the students were from overseas. As my friend New points out, for every 20 lawyers in America today graduate from law, one will be in the hard sciences. In China, it's the reverse. 20 to 30 hard sciences compared to maybe one in law. That's a hell of a ratio, I think.
Well, it sounds like Chinese took the quotation from Shakespeare about lawyers to heart, didn't they?
Oh, yes, he did.
And for those the quotation is, first let's kill the lawyers.
I love that Larson cartoon of the cruise ship going down, but they're full of mannequins, and one shark saying to the other, "What a cruel joke. I thought they were lawyers."
Well, Andrew, given the gravity of what we're facing and the what might be close proximity, I would recommend everybody read all four of Bill Fortune's books to give them a heads up so they in turn can educate others. What do you think, Andrew?
Oh, I absolutely agree. And, you know, it's not even just about EMP. We're living through history. And I know John and I have discussed it several times, but the things that we've witnessed in the last 3 years and what's going on globally and geopolitically, and of course the threat to our country, it's all very real and very strange. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that we were alive to be able to witness some of the things that are happening, and hopefully things calm down. But unfortunately, in my mind, you know, we talked about the use of EMP, but I believe the threat of EMP is also real for a different reason, and it's the perception of using the weapon. So to me, EMP is a bloodless weapon. So it's not initially causing any very much loss of life, and I think it would be perceived more positively by an adversary using that weapon because they wouldn't have been seen by their people as killing a lot of people initially. Now, of course, within a year, 90% of the population dies, but I think that it might be used in even in a more localized manner, potentially, just because there's less, there's less pushback from people for using this style of weapon. Not to mention, obviously, it does destroy microelectronics and a lot of infrastructure, but, you know, it's very effective at what it's doing, and I do think it's a real threat because many of our adversaries do have access to very simple nuclear devices that can create the effects.
Bill, since you first, what was the publication date 1 second after, sir?
Beg your pardon?
The publication date 1 second after.
It was March 14 years ago, 29.
I have a reason for asking, because the world technology we had 14 years ago has advanced dramatically in these last 14 years, hasn't it, sir?
Absolutely, yes. We're more and more susceptible to something like that.
Independent. We got a break. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back. hearth is. In days gone by, the hearth was the center of the home, a social place where the family would come together to spend time and cook. The warmth of the Liberator rocket stove makes a house feel like a home. So, welcome home. 100% American made, the Liberator rocket stove heats for a fraction of the cost of other methods. Your home can be safely heated with firewood or wood pellets. The Liberator rocket heater is waiting to be part of your home. This unit ships directly to your door, or you can save $300 with a factory pickup. To order, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Company will fix bayonets! Fix! Bayonets! Attention!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. If you want the same equipment the Department of Defense uses to protect your home, your generator, the youngster's car who's off to college, you go to my website, thelibertyman.com, get exactly what you need. Visiting with Andrew with EMP Shield and Bill Fortune, the author of One Second After, and the more recently published just last week, 5 Years After. Bill, is there a ROTC on the campus where you work, sir? Bill, are you with us? Hello, Bill. Andrew, are you with us?
Oh, no. Okay, we're back. We're back.
Okay, we're back.
I hit the mute button. I was saying I love that sound bit from the movie Zulu. No, but we don't have an ROTC component on our campus.
Okay, all right. Well, you're a military historian. Are you aware, sir, that the U.S. Army no longer does bayonet training?
Yeah, I think I was talking about that on another show as well. In fact, my girlfriend and I were just talking about it a couple of days ago. It's a crucial part of training. I was stunned to hear that the Army has discontinued that.
Well, it's consistent with everything else. I'll give you another heads up. You may not be aware of, but Bill, a Special Forces captain I served with when I was with the 12th Group, he was at West Point in the mid-1970s. He was a senior, a junior or senior, when the first female cadet showed up. And I don't know the exact year. It was about 75 or 76, not that the year matters. They have recruited the the brightest, most highly motivated, most athletic 18-year-old young ladies from around the country to be the first cadets at West Point.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single one could do inspection arms with the M14. They weren't strong
mm-hmm.
enough. So here's what they did, which continues. They'll be on the parade field today at West Point on Monday, the 28th day of August, unless they're on break, with their M14s. The M14s issued to the young lady cadets were taken to the armorer, and they said, "Mr. Armorer, we want you to cut the spring, the recoil
Wait.
Spring, until it's weak enough that the young ladies can overcome it and do inspection arms, giving the appearance that they can handle these rifles," which, of course, at that point in time, become display pieces, non-functioning display pieces. And everybody knows this. Everybody at West Point knows this. And, of course, every physical requirement was either changed or eliminated to accommodate the female cadets. Are you aware of that, Bill?
Well, let's get to some primal instincts in this world. You're in a situation where a woman gets hurt. You know, the whole thing about leave the wounded behind, keep going forward. It just mm-hmm. does not happen. The instinct of a male is to help a woman in distress. It's a deadly situation. Woman gets hurt, the man's going to stop what he's doing to help her rather than continuing the mission if that's necessary. So, yeah, we've been arguing this for eternity. Female warriors don't seem to work out well.
Well, it's hard
no.
to break.
You know, John.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Oh, I was going to say, I actually have an example of this as well. I was in Iraq with 5th Group with an ODA there, and we mm-hmm. had a female human intelligence collector. And mm-hmm. what I witnessed, and it wasn't anybody's fault, but what I basically witnessed is the focus went away from the mission, and it all became everybody was fighting over the female.
Right.
It literally distracted the entire mission for 3 months. So
yes, it did.
A little bit different example, but
We're hardwired. We're simply hardwired in some ways. And that's why I've always disagreed with women in combat. We're not hardwired for that.
But then on the positive side, Andrew, the men in the ODA is a 12-man group, by the way. In this case, 11 men and a woman. But the men in the ODA were probably shaving better, combing their hair better, polishing their boots better to impress this female, weren't they?
They certainly were. They were in the gym every day.
I knew it.
Well, let me point something out there. Iwo Jima. The military started sending nurses on planes into Iwo Jima to help evacuate the wounded because the survival rate of wounded in the care of a female medic rises significantly. And it's a statistical proof. In the nurturing role, you cannot beat that. So, yeah, we've been politically correct for 50 years in our military, much to our dismay.
So, let's take a call here, gentlemen. We got David in Illinois. Good morning, David.
Yes, sir. How you doing? We use those M14s in drill, too, and they were heavy. You called it anything but a rifle, and the sergeant major was making you do push-ups. So it's sad they're not using that anymore. But anyways, this is an EMP question. I seen a interview quite a years ago from a scientist who... They actually took a metal trash can, but they mm-hmm. had to seal it with tape, and they were able to use it to protect your electronics. And they said it yeah. even worked with holes in it. Is that...
Mm-hmm.
And so that is for a cheaper, viable option if you're, you know, financially...
We'll address that in more detail after the break, David. Hold on. We'll be back
Thank
after
you.
The break. Hold on.
Yes, sir.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
As I said to those who joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. My Labor Day sale on energy cleaners is in effect immediately until midnight a week from today. $25 off energy cleaners, 25% off mattress pads. You can place your order right there at my website using MasterCard, PayPal, Visa, or call my toll-free hour line 24 hours a day. That's 800-592-9543. Visiting with Andrew, representing EMP Shield, Bill Fortune, the author of One Second After, and the more recently published just last week, 5 Years After. And we have a question from David in Illinois about using a galvanized steel can to protect electronic equipment. Andrew, you want to handle this one?
Yeah. No, I'd love to. David, that's a great question. So, and for David and for anybody who has this question, a Faraday cage is what you're describing is one of the most effective ways to protect items from an EMP. Now, what I wanted to really address was you talked about having some form of a gap and still providing some amount of protection. Now, I'll explain this, but like something a little bit different. So the first thing is, and this is, I've actually asked this question with our engineering team many times, and because I've seen and had similar questions come to me. What really depends on is the type of energy weapon used and the wavelength from that energy weapon. Uh-huh. So you could use, as an example, in some scenarios, you could use chicken wire, and it does have gaps in between the wire, and at certain wavelengths, it would protect against that energy weapon. But with that being said, that's the background of it, but the reality is that the best Faraday cage is one that is 100% enclosed, or Faraday bag, whatever you prefer to use, but a trash can be a very effective Faraday cage. You just want to make sure that there is no gaps And if you can remove the gaps, it is quite effective. The only downside of a Faraday cage, while it is effective, the downside is that whatever's in that cage can no longer be used, right? So it has to remain inside to be protected, and that's where you'd want to put your microelectronics. Also inside that Faraday cage, you want to make sure you have some form of a buffer, whether it's cardboard or something else, or even rubber. You can use bed liner, because you don't want to have any kind of connection. You don't want your electronics touching the conductor, because then that energy might be conducted into those devices. Now, really quick, with that being said, that's kind of where EMP Shield comes into play, which is one of my companies. And what EMP Shield provides is protection from electromagnetic pulse on electrical systems that are in operation and the components connected to them. So we can protect the home and all the devices connected to that home, which means you can still use your electronics as opposed to having to put them into a Faraday cage. But it's a great question, David, and a Faraday cage is highly, highly effective.
A follow-up on that, David. Use metal tape. Any gaps or anything, where the lid comes together with the can itself, use metal tape for holes and gaps to make sure you got a good seal.
What I was going to ask, if the metal tape that has the adhesive backing would be better to utilize for that.
Absolutely. That's the way to go.
So,
have another question for you, if I may?
Another follow-up. You need cardboard or a blanket inside the metal. You don't want your electronic device touching the metal. So be sure and line it with either cardboard or a blanket or a carpet to prevent the device from touching the metal, sir.
Okay. Now, question, water. Now, we utilized this time with this heat to make sure all our equipment would be functioning under them circumstances, and they'll work fine. But here's my thing about water. Now, I've heard people saying that if there is a situation, say nuclear, whatever, you can evaporate the water and it'll all be clean. I can't understand around that. And is that correct? Because if that's the case, there's so much water here where I live, I'm pulling 3 to 5 gallons an hour, a couple hours out of my house for moisture alone. Because of the humidity here, wouldn't that be safe then on that? You understand where I'm going with this question?
I don't know how to answer that.
Because I can't get a clear answer on it either. It don't make sense to me. If it's in the atmosphere and the ashes, then that's where the radiation is going to come down from. If that be the case, you don't want to think about it after the fact. You need to think about this before the... And it just don't seem like nobody cares. Or they say the government will bring them water. Okay, well, look at Louisiana. So I had a question that concerned. The other question, really quickly, about this Faraday cage scenario. The guy said that most of your panels at the time when I heard his interview would be fine. If they may have a problem, they may be, if they're in use. Is that true or not? I have portable panels, and I'm sure have electronics in them now because they convert to, those are USB ones, some of them.
David, I'll jump on that real quick. So of the more modern panels, say probably the last 5-6 years, are now using certain types of diodes, pass-through diodes, and diodes that basically are controlling the flow of energy so that there's no backflow. Now, for those more modern panels, there is a likelihood they will be destroyed. And so a single solar panel can have up to 10,000 feet of copper trace. They are designed specifically to collect high amounts of energy. And so if you do have certain diodes inside of those solar panels, there is a chance that they can be destroyed. In fact, there's quite a high chance, depending on the types of diodes that they have. Now, if you're using some of the older solar panels, those are pretty much impervious. As long as there's no microelectronics or diodes, transistors or resistors, you should be fine there. And what you'd really want to protect with those panels is what's downstream from them.
Right. That may be where he was talking about a fuse or a circuit that they make that was designed. And unfortunately, I'm in a condition right now where I can't research my notes to know what to look for, because I have...
Like you're talking about me. So, David, it sounds like you're talking about you heard one of my interviews, to be completely
honest.
Probably.
You sound familiar.
Sure.
It's been a long time, because I still have a dozen of these Mitsubishi panels that are still in boxes. I haven't, and they would be considered older, but they're supposedly at the time they were very good panels, and I want to protect them the best I can. As long as there was power, everything was fine here, but my generators, everything worked fine, flawlessly. But if something happens and there's no power, then, you know, I have to worry about those issues. But is there a circuit that you could put on those? Sorry?
So we have what's called it's EMP shield. So that's the device I was referencing earlier. We do have EMP shield for solar systems. It's mainly designed for systems that are using older panels that when the energy is coming through, we're protecting the next set of equipment. So the charge controller, we can protect the batteries, we can protect the hybrid or the inverters, and so forth. So if you are using older panels, you can absolutely incorporate EMP shield to protect your charge controller and all of the rest of the electrical system, for sure.
Because the interview I heard, if that was you, they were working at the time to get that... like have a protection device where our current ones only protected a certain length and then the fuses would go out, but they were trying to coming up with an idea to have the next stage of frequency that came through the burn,
it might
you know,
have been
to protect.
Me. It might have been me. So the distance that we're at right now is 250 linear feet. So we can protect anything connected to the system within 250 linear feet. So that may have been what I was discussing previously, is that there is a limit, and more in reference, a good way to think about it is a home and how large that home is. So the equivalent of 250 linear feet is about 10,000 square feet. So a single EMP shield can protect that entire home's electrical system and those devices plugged in. If you have a home larger than that, then you need to put devices in sub-panels to make sure that we have that equivalence of protection in linear distance. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Yes. I totally understand it. I appreciate the information. And by the way, I love your music, your movie trivia on your commercials, because I'm like, I know that movie. I know that. So, okay. Thank you, gentlemen,
you,
very much.
It.
Yes, sir. Bye.
Bill, before we get to our next caller, would it be a fair statement that the underlying thesis and theme of your books is that families and communities need to prepare ahead of time for maximum chance of survival, sir?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. that's the point I keep hammering over and over and over. Every interview, every family should have at minimum 1 month's worth of emergency supplies on hand, because as everything shuts down, you don't want to be out on the street on day 3, 4, or 5 trying to beg a bottle of water or a snack bar or something like that. That means water, emergency food, command and control, being, you know, can you protect yourself? And, of course, very important, having enough medication on hand. Too many of us, we wait until there's only one or two pills left in the bottle. That's suicide, particularly for those needing crucial medication in a time of emergency.
I'll give you a heads up on something I've done personally here in little communities of Viburnum, Missouri, population less than 700, my community of Davisville, 10 miles away. My group purchased FM transmitters to transmit on the regular commercial band that you have on your car radio, for example, or your home stereo.
Mm-hmm.
And we purchased hand crank AM/FM radios. We packed them in Faraday bags and distributed them to the mayor, the chief of police, the school board, the city council, the pastors, the churches in these communities, so that during time of a crisis, we would have some way of communicating with the entire community and have at least one hand crank radio on every block. I'm moving forward with that to move into the rest of the county. We have 3 communities done now, and we got 2 or 3 more to do. But for less than $400, this can be done. It's very economical, and it's something that any community can do, can it, Bill?
Well, you know, when I first wrote One Second After, I interviewed a lot of people, and chief of police, good friends, sat down with him, explained the scenario, and said, what are you going to do? And the very first thing he did was he actually picked up the telephone, and then he said, oh, blank, it doesn't work. And I said, yeah, how are you going to communicate with your officers? No radios, possibly no cars working. What do you do? And that started him thinking, and now they have the same thing. They have radios stashed away. That's crucial. That's absolutely crucial.
No, it's not optional at all. Our next caller, gentlemen, is JP in Illinois. Good morning, JP.
Wow, what a great subject today, guys. I have a question for Andrew, if you got a minute.
Go ahead.
Sure. Andrew, I bought a couple of those EMP shields. All my cars are set up with them. But like the last caller,
nice.
I'm setting up a mobile work trailer. And what I'm going to do with it, I'm putting all brand new solar panels on top. I'm going to have all my recharging,
nice.
You know, power tools in there, and then a flop-out Murphy bed so I could go out and do jobs mobile.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is with grounding, because that was an issue I had with the installations and the first time. How would I ground a trailer properly? If I have it in a stable situation, should I put a spike in the ground? Or should I get it out to the front, you know, fork where it picks up on the car? I mean, where would be a good spot to ground that?
Sure. So, okay, I love this question, because the first thing is there is nothing better than having a good ground, ever. So if you have the ability where you're stationary, putting a ground down or having a ground that you can simply connect to is always the best option. Now, that doesn't mean that we aren't able to protect your mobile platform, though. And so the concept here would be the same as the vehicle model in the general concept. And what would happen is if when we push the energy, so we look at the potential between the lines, which means the differential, like what's the different energy, whether it's 122.40, a 12 volt, a 48, but whatever your electrical system is, and then we compare it to the ground and the neutral, if there is a neutral. And when we see a difference, we push that energy to the ground. Now, the ground in this instance on your mobile platform is the chassis. And what's going to happen is we are going to continue to cycle the energy until the energy dissipates. That's why the device is incredibly fast. You know, it's shunting or pulling energy in nanoseconds and dissipating over time. And this is the way it works on the vehicle model. We can do the same thing if it's, we'll use the example that you're running a 122.40, right? So you have a small solar system, you have a charge controller, and then an inverter, and you're pushing 120. Mm-hmm. I'm just making up a scenario. You might run 12 volts, I don't know. In that scenario, you could just get simply a plug-in model and put it into one of your outlets, and that would cause that dissipation of energy between the chassis and the electrical system. Now, with that being said, though, it would always be better. It's always better to get rid of the energy as fast as possible, which is if you have a ground, we will then push the chassis, and the chassis will then dump the energy to the ground. And so that's the best case scenario. But there is ways, absolutely, that we can protect that system. And to get more in depth and to give probably better answers on your situation, probably give my staff a call. You know, you might still have the phone number. If not, it's on the website. You know, first of all, let them know that you heard us on the show. That way they can get you a discount if you do end up purchasing. But most importantly is they can answer your questions, because they'll dig into exactly what equipment you're going to use and kind of what your plan is to build it. And they'll be able to get you the exact protection that you need.
Great. Yeah, I've talked to your guys. They're very they're really good in terms of answering your questions. I do want to say about grounding too. I experimented this year with my garden, and I used copper rods in grounding in the plants. And I had a control group, and I'm kind of a geek that way. But the plants that had the grounding grew twice as big, literally, as the control group.
Really?
And it was just using a copper rod up the middle, on the bottom of the plants, and it pulled up the energy from the ground. I don't know, maybe if it sucked down the energy, Tesla energy, but it made the plants twice as big. So grounding's kind of important. And I'd like to mention to your guest, I worked at the University of Wisconsin. I could confirm it was 50% Asian. It was over two decades. And I went to the HR, the enrollment department. I said, why are we having so many foreigners here? And they literally said they paid 2 to 3 times the tuition. So they're getting twice as much for those foreigners. And I dated a girl from China. Her name was Zumi. She was a princeling, high IQ woman. I mean, 150. She used to call me dummy, and I was pretty smart. You know? But one thing, she never wanted to go back to China because they were killing all their women at that time. They were boarding all the young girls. And she said if she went back to China, she'd have to join the party and work for the Communist Party. So that's how they operate over there. They send all their males, and the women that stay here, they don't want to go back. So that's all absolutely true.
Okay.
Absolutely, yes. All at Purdue. Innumerable number of kids were like, is there any way I could stay here? And if they didn't go back, it was their families who paid.
Mm-hmm.
Right. JP, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. We got our last break coming up here in less than a minute. Bill, when we get back, Bill, I'd like you to give us about a 3 or 4 minute summary of your concerns and how to address those concerns. Or can you do that for us?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that. And it seems like we have a consensus between the three of us that the U.S. Army dropping bayonet training is a massive, possibly fatal mistake. Is that, do we concur, Andrew and Bill?
Absolutely, yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Here's our last break. We'll get a summary from Bill when we get back. We'll be right back.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop, it's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool. Down there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. Bill, we'll be talking privately. I'd like to have you back on a regular basis that fits your lifestyle and your schedule because you had so much to our discussion. And if you could please give us a 3 minute summary of just what your concerns are about EMP and how to address them, sir.
My concerns in 3 minutes? You're kidding. But we'll try. Number one, our electrical infrastructure is woefully antiquated. We're pumping our electricity on a system that's 40 to 50 years old. Number two, 90% of all of our major electrical components are manufactured in China. Number three, the average citizen is woefully ill-prepared. No matter how many times you say it, you see what happens in almost any emergency. The news report, people are lined up out the door to get their supplies. You should have supplies on hand before. And then fourth, we need a major political reset if we're going to get through the next 4 years.
Roger that. Andrew, you got any follow-up to Bill's comments?
No, I think that was very well said. I agree with every single point.
Absolutely. And just a reminder, by the Gettysburg Address was only 3 minutes long. You can say a lot in 3 minutes.
Yes, you can.
Well, Bill, you add so much to this discussion. We have literally a worldwide audience with listeners all over the planet, and we look forward to repeating this discussion and going into more depth as we move forward into the future, sir. And we want to thank you for being with us.
I always enjoy being on your program. Anytime, set it up. Regular, anytime, okay?
Okay, sounds great. Okay, thank you, sir. We'll be talking privately soon. Andrew, we really have quite a major bonus having Bill Fortune with us, don't we, sir?
Oh, we really do. First of all, it's just amazing to be able to be on the call with him. I think that's just really neat by itself. But so much value provided. Understands human nature, understands EMP. It's good to be able to talk to somebody else who actually understands the stuff. And, you know, I know there's a lot of smart people out there, but there's very few like Dr. Forshin that can come on and provide such value. So I think it's incredible. And hopefully he jumps back on with us again.
If only we get the House Armed Services Committee to pay attention to us, right?
Right.
Yeah.
One day.
We'll see. We'll do that. Yeah, well, time's a wasting. As I like to say, Bill, it's better to be a year too soon than a microsecond too late. Right, Bill?
Why we call it, I call my first book 1 second after.
Roger that. Well, we all have a lot of life experience we bring to the table, and we're advising people literally all over the planet to get ready and get ready now. And we have new listeners every week, gentlemen, so we'll be repeating ourselves a lot also as well as bringing new information to the table. Bill and Andrew, thank you. We'll talk soon, all three of us.
God bless all of you. Keep up the good work.
Okay. We have a break. We'll be back with Firearms Monday. Stay tuned.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.